Is U.S. President Donald Trump more popular or China's President Xi Jinping? Polling data from 25 countries showed global confidence in Trump was lower than that of China's Xi. In this debate, we will look why the U.S. President Donald Trump is unpopular, especially among his allies, never mind from within the U.S. itself. We will also ask our guests whether Trump is more popular than the Russian President Vladimir Putin. Who do you think is more popular? Stay tuned with us to find out.
A week after high-ranking world representatives laughed at Donald Trump's egoistic and anti-globalist rhetoric at the United Nations, a new poll showed that international public confidence in his leadership is also seriously shaken. The Pew Research Center in Washington surveyed more than 26,000 people in 25 countries about the leaders of five major world economies. It includes Chinese President Xi Jinping, Russian President Vladimir Putin, French President Emmanuel Macron, and German Chancellor Angela Merkel. The survey shows an average of 70% had a lack of confidence in the U.S. president when asked whether they thought he would do the right thing regarding world affairs. This large portion of respondents said the U.S. pays little or no attention to the needs of other nations when it comes to making foreign policy decisions. The research noted signs that America's soft power is waning as well. This covers the fact that while the U.S. maintains its reputation for respecting individual liberty, fewer believe this than they did a decade ago. Although backing for the U.S. as the world's leading power was weakest in Russia, Tunisia and Argentina, the poll found that opinions of Trump fell considerably among some of America's closest allies and neighbors. Only 9% of French citizens and 6% of Mexican nationals expressed favorable views of the Republican U.S. leader. European attitudes toward Trump were strikingly negative as well, especially when compared with the ratings his predecessor received while in office. The researchers, however, noted that the U.S. president receives higher ratings from supporters of right-wing populist parties in various European countries, such as Britain, Sweden, France, Italy, the Netherlands and Germany. Support for the U.S. president in Israel jumped 13 points to 69%. Trump's controversial decisions to move the U.S. embassy to Jerusalem al-Quds from Tel Aviv, quitting the United Nations Human Rights Council, and withdrawing support for the UN Relief and Works Agency for Palestine refugees presumably played a major role in the results of the Israeli poll. The findings provide the latest illustration of global frustration over the U.S. president's America First agenda. Trump has imposed tariffs, dismissed the value of multilateral institutions, and withdrawn from international agreements. Consequently, it comes as no surprise that confidence in Trump trailed the scores of other world leaders like China's Xi and Russia's Putin, who are constantly under criticism by the U.S. and its traditional allies.
Our guest joining us for this edition of the debate, we have a human rights and labor lawyer, Daniel Kovalik, who joins us from Pittsburgh, PA. We also have editor at Veterans Today, Mike Harris, who joins us from Phoenix. Gentlemen, welcome. Let me first start with you, Daniel Kovalik. I mean, we first of all have to say two things before we get going here. This poll was conducted by Pew Research Center, and also it's not just a headline that we're running here. I'm looking across here at a variety of papers across the United States, such as USA Today, who have this as one of their headlines: President Donald Trump unpopular across the globe and America's standing dropped. This is what one of the headline reads. Do you agree with that?
Well, yes. I mean, again, if you look at the reaction that Trump got at the General Assembly, where they actually laughed at him when he said that he was one of the better presidents in recent history. I mean, Trump, you know, seems like an aggressive clown to most people in the world, and actually to most people within the United States. He has alienated country after country by imposing sanctions against numerous countries, by threatening a number of countries, including Iran, Venezuela, with regime change. And I think people are tired of this bluster, especially when they see, you know, how cruel his domestic policies are, you know, tearing children, immigrant children away from their parents. I mean, this is just unacceptable.
Well, Mike Harris, perhaps you can tell us why you would think that, well, let's say Pew Research Center feels inclined to, first of all, run a poll with this question, and also why it is that, for example, our guest there said that, yes, Trump is unpopular, if you agree with that, and what the reasons may be, that is, if you agree with that assessment.
Well, I do not agree with it, number one. And first of all, it doesn't matter what the citizens of foreign countries think about our American president. They don't elect him. They don't get to vote. What matters is what the U.S. population thinks. And what Trump is trying to do is to, as he stated at the U.N. General Assembly, he does not embrace globalism. And he is an advocate for American sovereignty and for American excellence. And this is long overdue. Every president we've had since George Herbert Walker Bush, through Clinton, through George W. Bush and Obama, have all embraced this globalist agenda. Trump is changing the paradigm. And of course, the people who are in favor of this globalist agenda don't care for that. They don't like it. The media is making a big thing out of this, so Pew is piling on and trying to get another reason to disparage Trump. The nonsense about tearing children from their mother's arms is nonsense. Those people don't need to come here. We don't need them. We don't want them. They're breaking our laws. And many times, they're not even the children that belong to the people they're with. They're being human trafficked, and they're being sold into a life of slavery and child sex trafficking. And so what Trump is doing is very positive, and it's going to have very, very positive effects on the United States and the quality of life that Americans live here, because our quality of life has been in decline since the 1970s.
Okay, you heard our guest there, Daniel Kowalik. Your response to him?
Well, there's a lot to say. One, I don't think that his policies will lead to prosperity in the United States. He is passing huge tax cuts for the rich while we are in desperate need of more infrastructure, which he had promised but has not delivered on, while we have a massive amount of homeless people, while we have one of the worst health care systems in the world. Instead, all the money's being funneled to the rich and to the military. Now, frankly, that doesn't distinguish him from a lot of U.S. presidents, but he certainly is more strident about those policies and more anti-immigrant in his rhetoric than any president in my memory, in 15 years on this earth. So I think that for that reason, people outside the U.S. and within the U.S., many are appalled by his open appeal to racism and xenophobia.
Well, Mike Harris, I heard your statements there about Trump, which makes it clear about how you view him. But if possible, I'm going to ask you to, and you said that it doesn't matter what people from outside of the U.S. think of Donald Trump. First of all, do you really think that that wouldn't matter? I mean, again, I'm looking at it in terms of some of the allies that that the U.S. has. And when we talk about liking, it's not so much liking the behavior, but liking perhaps the way that he has conducted himself in the professional arena, whether it comes to trade or things of that nature. Do you think that he has indeed been successful in that regard?
Well, the trade issue, let's bifurcate trade issue from other foreign policy, because the trade issue is very important to us. Under President Bill Clinton, he sold out the U.S. When he signed NAFTA, GATT, let the China into the WTO, it deindustrialized the United States. We closed 70,000 factories and exported 35 million manufacturing jobs. We were promised that we were going to replace those manufacturing jobs with higher paying knowledge-based jobs. And after 20 years, we still don't have those new jobs, and we're out 35 million jobs. And it shows throughout the economy. That's one thing. Now, about foreign policy, when we're looking at the State Department and military complex there, that's a different issue. Let me rephrase this. I still think that the policy from George H.W. Bush, the fraud of 9/11, where the war on terrorism is dominating that. We still have this neocon agenda, and I think as a function of time, Trump is going to try to eliminate that. Do we spend too much on the military? Absolutely. We should cut our military spending in half because there's no need for us to be engaged in these wars on foreign soil. We wasted $7 trillion in Afghanistan and Iraq, now Syria, and accomplished nothing for the U.S. Trump has stated this, but I don't think he quite has his arms around that yet. So these are just a couple of things that Trump is trying to get handled here. I don't want to see the U.S. engaged in any foreign wars at all. But General Wesley Clark said back in, I think it was 2004 or 5, that the U.S. was going to topple 7 countries in 5 years. And the U.S. has stayed on that agenda. So we have a permanent class of bureaucrats in the State Department that are driving U.S. foreign policy towards that direction. As you've seen in the Department of Justice and the FBI and other places where we have problems with bureaucrats directing policy in spite of the will of the people and their elected president, this is a problem that needs to be addressed. And the U.S. people do not want war on foreign soils. We've been there. We've done too much. It's time to dial it back. And let's tell the truth about 9/11, because it was not 19 Arabs with box cutters that brought down the Twin Towers, folks.
All right, Daniel Kovalik, let's talk about, again, I have to reflect some of the findings of this poll. And one of them, a couple of them here, regards two other presidents. One is the Russian president, Vladimir Putin, and then Xi Jinping. Interestingly, Trump, when it came to the Russian president, came close with 62% of the poll's respondents, saying that they didn't trust Vladimir Putin. And then on Xi Jinping, global confidence in Trump was lower than that for China's Xi. Why do you think that would be? I mean, these are two, coincidentally, two of the countries that the U.S. Has stated to be their national security threat.
Yeah, well, I think in the case of China, we see China, frankly, playing a very positive role for the most part in the world. While it certainly has its own economic agenda throughout the world, it seems to try to advance that by development, helping, you know, countries build roads and build hospitals, not by bombing countries into oblivion, which is what the U.S. Tack has been for so long. And similarly, in the case of Russia, I think that their foreign policy has been much more responsible than that of the United States, which time and again has left countries in ruin, like Libya and Iraq and Afghanistan and Syria and now in Yemen, where 10 million people, according to the UN, will die by the end of the year because of the UN or the U.S.-backed war in Yemen. So I think if you just look at the facts, the U.S. Is a greater threat to world peace and security than any other country, including China and Russia.
You talked about, Daniel, the UNGA. Mike Harris, I'd like to ask you a little bit about that, because the verdict is out somewhat, depending on whom you ask, in terms of the way that the different countries and the representatives view Trump. Obviously, the way it was also reported in addition, said that Trump's message vowing to put American sovereignty over multilateralism, well, that wasn't that well received. First of all, why wasn't it well received, and do you see it that way?
Well, yes, I do. Trump was very clear. He came out and promoted U.S. sovereignty and denounced the globalist agenda. The globalist agenda has gone unopposed for 30, 35, 40 years now. And Trump is the first guy to step up and say, no, it's time to put our interests as the United States first, time to make America great again. And we have neglected our own people and our own prosperity for all of these decades. And Trump is the guy who's coming back and putting it together. And he put the rest of the world on notice with his General Assembly speech that the U.S. is now back in the game and promoting our own national interest in the interest of the people of the United States. And I'm glad that he put the UN General Assembly on notice, because now they know that we're no longer the patsy that's going to allow our standard of living and the welfare of our people be degraded so other people can improve theirs. Now, one thing about Vladimir Putin, and that I admire him so much, is because he is the first leader since the fall of the Tsar that has actually benefited the standard of living for the Russian people. For that reason alone, that makes him a great man. And I think what Donald Trump is trying to do is the same thing that Vladimir Putin did. And I think as a function of time, Trump is going to become one of the most popular American presidents, both foreign and domestically. I think he's going to win the hearts and minds of the world.
Okay, I'd like to ask you then, Daniel Kovalik, this particular piece of news. Because, you know, when Mike Harris talks about Trump that way, then you have this piece of news that says Donald Trump ranked the worst president in U.S. history by nearly 200 political scientists. And let me tell you where this comes from so there's no controversy here by me saying that. This is according to the 2018 Presidents and Executive Politics Presidential Greatness Survey that involves all these American political scientists. And, of course, I don't know what this organization is all about in a matter of speaking. But the point here is that you got both camps here. You got Mike Harris, and I'm sure a lot of people like him, who adore Trump, if I may say so, Mike Harris. And then you have these 200 political scientists who say he's the worst president. So what gives here?
Well, obviously, in many matters, you know, how good someone is in the eye of the beholder. I think, though, that Trump, certainly in terms of style, does not come off as presidential. He says very impolitic things, very racist things, anti-immigrant things, to appeal to a sizable minority, but a minority it is of right-wing white voters. Again, we've had other presidents that have done that. It's been a while since they've done it in that overt of a way. I think it's hard to judge who would be the worst president of all, because we've had some terrible ones, and I don't know if Trump would rank in that, but certainly, again, he doesn't appear as one, as many people think a president should, in terms of how he speaks and in terms of some of his policy. Again, the real anti-immigrant policies, which seem, frankly, to be just cruel for no particular reason. And I think that does shock people. It shocks me. So I think that's some of what is happening here.
Well, Mike Harris, another point coming out of this poll, maybe more importantly, aside from just Trump's character, is the fact that many people said that the U.S. is not stepping up to solve global crises like it used to. I don't have much details behind that. There has been this interpretation of the U.S. wanting to police the world, and the critique against that is that's not necessary for the U.S. to feel that way. We could talk about the 600-plus military bases that the U.S. has across the world. Do you think that the U.S. is not tending to the world like it used to?
Well, I think that under Donald Trump, I think that the U.S. is starting to look inward a little bit more than instead of outward. It became very obvious under George W. Bush and under Obama that we were in the expansion of empire phase, that we were out starting wars in foreign countries. And I think Trump is trying to wean the military and the State Department off of these foreign adventures. And the U.S. people don't want another war. We've spent enough money, we've wasted enough lives, we've killed enough people. We don't want any more of that. We want it to end. And I just don't think that I don't think it's growing under Trump the way it did under the two previous presidents, Bush and Clinton. And about this business about anti-immigrant, I don't think Trump is anti-immigrant. I just think he wants better people coming here. The illegal immigrants, we don't need them. They break into our country illegally. They have no standing to be here at all. And what Trump wants is the best and the brightest. We don't want the dregs of the earth coming here. We want your doctors. We want your lawyers. We want your engineers. We want people who are going to help make our society a better place, not people who are going to be social parasites and live off the welfare system to the end of time, like the Somalis are doing up in Minnesota. We don't want that class of people anymore. We want to build and maintain a first world presence, and we're not going to do it with a third world population. And I think that is what Trump is getting to. I think he's being pragmatic about this and how to make the United States into the best and brightest country it can possibly be.
Daniel Kovalik, you heard Mike Harris there, and I think that's kind of in line with the way Trump described some other countries. I don't know if Somalia was part of that. Maybe you can refresh our memory.
Well, first of all, I want to say that a lot of the countries like Somalia that these immigrants are coming from, Central America included, are countries that the U.S. has destroyed through military intervention, through the very military interventions that Mike says he's against and that I'm against. And I think to go in and destroy entire nations, as the U.S. has been doing, for some time now, and then to begrudge the people from those nations in seeking asylum or refuge in this country is unacceptable. We have made many countries uninhabitable, and we need to take responsibility for that. And in that sense, I must say, I don't agree with folks who say, oh, the U.S. is now turning its back on helping the world or being the world's policeman. My view is that the U.S. has never been helpful to the world. If it's been a policeman, it's been akin to the fox guarding the hen house. It's never acted in a way to benefit other countries. It's intervened for its own purposes. And now we begrudge people after they suffer from that type of intervention, and I don't abide by that.
Mike Harris, your response.
Well, I agree with him. I think that the U.S. for the past, since the end of World War II and probably before that, has been very aggressive and has been supporting what I will call unethical regime change around the world. I mean, look at the case of Iran, 1953, when they deposed the prime minister and put in the Shah so they could get access to cheap Iranian oil without, you know, compensating the people justly for it. Look what went on in Nicaragua and El Salvador, same situation. Look what's going on now in Syria. Look what happened in Iraq, Afghanistan. In Afghanistan, under the Taliban, opium production was at an all-time low. Under the U.S. Occupation, it's gone to an all-time high. And now the U.S. has an opioid problem. All of these things are a CIA model to where they extract the drugs, they sell them into the domestic population to fund their black operation programs to go out and take down and regime change more countries. I am firmly opposed to this, and I want to see this stopped. And I think Donald Trump is the only guy who's come along in at least my lifetime who's done it. And just for the record, for the earlier question about who the worst presidents were, in my lifetime was Lyndon Johnson and George W. Bush, because they both proceeded over great disasters, and they allowed the U.S. to endure changes that we wouldn't have tolerated unless those disasters had occurred. Those two have been unmitigated failures as presidents in the eyes of the American people.
Okay, my final question goes to you, Daniel Kovalik. This is something that is viewed not only from within, but also from viewers or from people outside of the U.S. looking at the U.S. from within. And that is the fact that the United States of America is divided. You tune on to certain TV channels, they also say that. And according to this poll, it says that America's reputation as a champion of freedom has waned under Trump. Is that correct, accurate, and why is that? And how much of a factor does Trump play into that?
Well, I think the U.S. has been a divided country for a long time. I think that, some of the divisions that existed during the Civil War still exist today. I actually think the worst president ever was Rutherford B. Hayes, who ended Reconstruction, which was a program to end slavery and all of its vestiges for good and to move this country forward in a more positive way. Well, that ended, and frankly, we still have this division between people who want to move backwards. 20% of people who support Trump say they think the freeing of the slaves was a bad idea. So you still have these very backwards views that have existed, again, prior to the Civil War. Uh-huh. And I think they've always existed, but that Trump has simply encourage them and brought them out. And
very well.
So
very well. We're going to have to leave it there, unfortunately.
The
thank you very much for that.
Are correct.
Sorry about that. Human rights and labor lawyer Daniel Kovalik there from Pittsburgh, PA, and editor at Veterans Today, Mike Harris from Phoenix. Thank you for tuning into another edition of The Debate from Ecotopia, the entire team. In the capital, Tehran, it's goodbye.